Hare Krishna. Nectar is not a material thing to be ingested, but a spiritual truth to be relished. It tastes like nectar, we often say when we get some delicacy. And this usage, where we refer to nectar, refer to some object, material object, as a thing, makes us imagine that nectar is also a thing. When we compare A with B, then we assume that A and B are similar. So if this object is like nectar, that means nectar is also like this object. And that's how we think of nectar as also the thing. And there are pastimes in the scriptures. For example, there is the Amrut Manthan Leela, wherein Mohini Murthy appears and she distributes nectar. So therein also, nectar is seen as a thing, which is poured by Mohini Murthy, the incarnation of the Lord, for the devatas, and it is not given to the demons. So this is a nectar, but it is only one kind of nectar. And this nectar actually doesn't grant immortality. The word nectar has two meanings. One is, or its Sanskrit equivalent is Amrut. And the word Amrut can have two meanings. It can refer to a thing, that Amrut, that particular thing which is drunk, Somaras or some other kind of Amrut it might be. And it can also refer to Amrutattva. So the famous Upanishadic verses say that Mrityorma Amrutam Gama, that go away from death to immortality. Now here Amrita is referring not just to the drinking of any particular object, it is referring to the attainment of immortality. So Amrit can refer to the thing that is drunk, and it can refer to the immortality to be attained. Now it is widely thought that by drinking that thing called Amrita, one will attain immortality. But yet we see that even the gods, the devatas, are afraid of death, even after drinking an Amrit also. So actually, the Amrit prolongs life. It doesn't perpetuate life. At the material level, everything is temporary. So nothing, not even nectar, can make the material things eternal. Nothing can make this material body eternal. So in that sense, in the Upanishads, there are statements which say that the heaven, that the promises of everlasting enjoyment in heaven through the drinking of nectar, these are simply exaggerations that mislead. So, of course, this doesn't mean that immortality can never be attained. Immortality can definitely be attained, but the way to attain immortality is not just by searching for or struggling for some nectar as a thing to be drunk. No, the nectar that will truly grant immortality is the redirection of our heart from the material level to the spiritual level. Instead of loving material things, we choose to love Krishna. We as souls are eternal. So in that sense, eternality or immortality is not something that we have to attain in future. It is our intrinsic nature. We simply have to reclaim it. And to reclaim it, we have to learn to love the eternal. The more we love the eternal, the less we will identify with the temporary body. And then the body's destruction will not come across as our death. Rather, if we had learned to love the eternal, then we will return back to Krishna and we will have eternal life thereof. So the Bhagavad Gita uses this word Amrita in 13.13. He says, Gheyam yat tat pravakshami yat gyatva amritam ashnute. So the Bhagavad Gita 13 chapter talks about six subjects: Purusha, Prakti, Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Gyan and Gheya. So before this verse, Kshetra, Kshetrajna and Gyan have been talked about. Krishna is saying, now I'll talk about Gheya. Gheya is the object of knowledge. So what is it that we can know? We are the subjects of knowledge. We are knowing. But what is the object that we can know? Now at one level, there is everything in creation. I can take a mic and do a PhD on my mic design. So I can study any object in this world for a long time. It can be an object of knowledge. But Krishna is talking about a special object of knowledge. If one understands this, Gheyam yat tat pravakshami yat gyatva, by knowing this, what will happen? Amritam ashnute. We will attain eternity. So that object, whose knowledge will grant us eternity is described in subsequent verses from 14 to 19, and that is actually Krishna. So when we learn to love Krishna, we return back to Him for an eternal life with Him. And that is life's supreme perfection. That is what we should aspire for. And that is a spiritual truth. What is the spiritual truth? That I am a soul and I have a natural love for Krishna. And I just have to redirect my heart's emotions from matter to Krishna. And then I will start relishing this happiness. So love for Krishna is the ultimate nectar. And this is a nectar not as a thing to be ingested, but it's a truth to be realized and relished. And as we keep practicing bhakti diligently, we will realize and relish this truth more and more. Till ultimately, this will become our life's supreme and exclusive and ultimate source of joy. Thank you. Hare Krishna.